from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That is Finally by CeCe Peniston. Finally, the Luke Kennard signing is happening. We can all move on with our lives.
You know, you had it backward, Chris. You were waiting to release your piece till after the Kennard signing. What needed to happen is you needed to release the piece to then trigger the Kennard signing, is I think the way that it played out.
I shook things loose. I apologize for not being more proactive.
Exactly right. So, all right, 1 year, $11 million. I've tweeted out your piece about this. People can read it and should read it. But what say you?
Well, I think not that this should matter that much, but for people who are trying to, like, you know, keep their salary sheets at home, the $11 million is going to be agent PR. That's the way these things work. And so, because if you put that number in, you'll see the Grizzlies over the tax line. Like, they're too smart to, like, do all these deals and put them over themselves, like, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars over the luxury tax line. That's not happening.
Let me pause there for a minute, because there's some discussion about bonuses. How does the bonuses figure into this? Is that what the agents speak would be massaging, or what?
So, generally speaking, without necessarily the specifics of this contract, generally speaking, there are bonuses in player contracts, like, all the time for various things. Whether those bonuses and so any bonus that's in a contract, like, you could report that as part of the contract if you want to make the contract look bigger. In terms of league accounting, luxury tax is not determined until the end of the season based on what you've actually paid. But for now, what goes on the books for league accounting are likely bonuses. The league will make the determination whether a bonus is a likely or an unlikely bonus.
I see.
And likely bonuses are on the books now. Unlikely bonuses, like, will go on the books if they actually get triggered at the end of the season. And so, you know, all I'm saying is that I don't think the hard number on that contract is going to be $11 million, because that would put the Grizzlies into the tax.
It makes no sense.
That's not what they did. Yeah. But regardless, like, these are small distinctions. It's a 1 year deal for you know, in that range of, you know, below the 14.8 they had the team option on, but certainly, you know, above, like, what, you know, a minimum contract or a mini mid level kind of thing would have been.
First, in terms of the number, and you've done this in your piece on this. It feels like, you know, back in a year ago, there was an outrage on the part of running backs in the NFL. We are underpaid as a group. The league doesn't value us, etc. Right now, shooters in the NBA, and they had Zoom calls and stuff to object about this, the running backs did. Shooters in the NBA can have the same objection, and you've gone through it. Isaiah Joe, 4 years, 48. Buddy Hield, 2 years, 18 among them. Gary Trent Jr., 1 year, 2.6.
Yeah, I think the more precise term here would be shooting specialist, right?
Okay, yep.
These are not 3-and-D guys. Great shooters who are also have, you know, important roles on the other end. They're not like Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, who are great shooters who are also great shot creators.
Right.
These are sort of shooting specialist types, right?
Where do you think Luke Kennard fits in the group that you wrote about there?
Somewhat. He's probably the best pure shooter of the group. You know, he's a little bit older than some. He's had injury issues. He's probably a worse defender than some. You know, I think it's interesting. One of the things I'll say about this, goes a little bit beyond what I wrote, is that, and this is just context clues. This is not reporting. What seems clear to me is that the Grizzlies, the market allowed the Grizzlies to bring Luke Kennard back at less money than their team option. But this contract is not purely a product of market forces. If it were, it might be smaller. I think if the Grizzlies had tried to play hardball and just like, let's see what the market will give you,
right,
they may have gotten Luke Kennard for less. They also may have lost Luke Kennard. I think what probably happened here is they wanted Luke Kennard back. Luke Kennard wanted to be back. They said, you know, we're not giving you multiple years probably for any number you like. We're not going to bring you back for this 14.8 because we know that you're not going to get that much in free agency. We'll give you whatever we can clear under the tax, you know, up to a certain level. If you just hang out and wait and don't try to negotiate with other teams, we're gonna give you a number that you're going to be okay with, but give us time to clear the tax and see what that number can be. And that's basically what happened. Now, why it took another week beyond that, the Zaire Williams trade, that's kind of a separate question. But I think that's essentially what happened. I think if they had truly played like market forces hardball, A, they may have gotten him at a lower number, but B, he may have just gone somewhere else. I don't think that's what happened.
I see. So it certainly explains the delay until after Zaire is gone. Does not explain the delay in the last however long it's been since Zaire is gone. But that's an interesting point because Gary Trent Jr., 1 year, 2.6. Malik Beasley, he's got some complications. 1 year, 6.
Tyus Jones.
Yeah, Tyus Jones. Buddy Hield, 90. He got 2 years, 18.
Like, he got more than that, but the guaranteed money over the next 2 years is 2 years, 18.
So
like when his got reported by Woj or whoever, it looked bigger too.
It's kind of interesting. So they may have said, because we have known from the beginning, and you have said from the beginning, they're going to work this out, right? So basically what's interesting is it feels like that agreement or discussion or like just hang out and we'll give you what we can.
Yeah. Understanding.
That understanding happened before the full impact of the market poor forces came to bear. Right,
like, yeah, I think that's right, but I think the Grizzlies also knew like he wasn't going to get like some 3-year full mid level. He wasn't going to get some like 3-year $36 million offer or something like that.
Right. So okay, so that explains the $11 million. The 1 year. What do you think? What do you make of the 1 year? And what do you think the chances are that he's gone by the end of the year?
Well, it's interesting because if the number had been even smaller, and again, I think the real number is smaller than 11, but I don't think it's dramatically smaller. If it had been truly like a 1 year six, kind of, you know, a $6 million for next year, like Malik Beasley kind of deal,
yep.
I think it would have been 1 year because of the agent would not have wanted to lock in more than 1 year. Cap's going to go up another 10%, have a good year, get back into free agency.
Right.
I think the Grizzlies would be reluctant to do multiple years if it was not just an absolute bargain. So given where it fell, it's not clear to me which side was more insistent on it being 1 year. It kind of could go either way from that standpoint, but it sort of makes sense for both teams. I mean, the Grizzlies got, you know, Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson and Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart, all these players on the hook for more than 1 year beyond this season. Luke Kennard, you know, if he has a good year, you know, maybe he does worse in free agency, but he probably won't do much worse than this. And so I think if you're an agent, you probably want to take your chances in free agency rather than having, you know, a second year for like $9 million or whatever. And so it kind of makes sense from both sides.
We don't really know how he's going to fit, right? I mean, we don't.
Yeah, I think, you know, the positional depth chart is not neat for the Grizzlies. I'm sort of dealing with this right now because I'm kind of trying to write my preview for the Lindy's Newsstand magazine, which is not due for a couple weeks, but I'll be out of the country, so I'm trying to like get it done tomorrow, basically. And the thing about that is, like, in real basketball, it doesn't matter that much because everything flows. But in this, on a magazine spread, you have to say, these are the point guards. These are the shooting guards. Right. These are the small forwards. What is Marcus Smart? I literally have no idea where I'm putting them yet. It could be one of three different groups. And so the Grizzlies' depth chart does not line up neatly in that way. But I think if you contemplate, like, what's your rotation if everyone's healthy, they're not bringing back Luke Kennard on this contract to not play him. And so I think he is in the rotation coming off the bench in some capacity.
It is interesting, though, because, like, let's just stipulate that for purposes, present purposes, that Marcus Smart is the starter. You're going to have Vince Williams, Gigi Jackson, and Luke Kennard all sort of similar kind of players coming off the
Grizzlies,
bench.
I think the Grizzlies are comfortable. Like, I think Scottie Pippen Jr. is going to play a lot. And Derrick Rose will play a little. But they're not, I don't think they think they need a quote-unquote backup point guard that sort of fits that description in the lineup every night. I think for the 12 minutes a game that John Moran is sitting on the bench, or 14 minutes or whatever it is, I think the Grizzlies are comfortable with any combination of Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard, Vince Williams being their backcourt when John Morant's sitting on the bench.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so that's where you can steal extra minutes for these guys. Normally, when someone's on the last year of their deal, we even talked about this with Dylan Brooks. Going into the last year of his deal, you're like, well, are they going to trade him at the trade deadline if they're not, you know, whatever. Like, it feels like this one is... I mean, they're just in it to win. Like, they're just trying to win, right? They're just trying to win.
They did not sign this contract with the idea of it being a trade chip.
Right.
But the reality is, when you get to the trade deadline, if you're close and you feel like there's something you can do that will increase your odds a little bit more. I mean, I wrote about this at the beginning of the week, if using the Dallas example.
Yeah.
It was a good team that tried to get better by trading for Daniel Gafford and P.J. Washington. If you're looking to make those kind of moves at the trade deadline, you know, a $9 to $11 million expiring Luke Kennard contract could easily be something that's in that trade. So could Santi Aldama, so could John Conchar, so could a few other things, you know.
And by then we could have a real sense of whether, you know,
how much is shooting is needed on this team relative to other things you could get.
And has Gigi soaked up all the minutes that, like, I mean, like, you know, so you have a much better sense of things, it seems to me, at that point. Who among, I mean, this is an unfair question. Maybe it's impossible to know. Among the players that you would currently pencil in Lindy's as in the rotation, do you think there are any more or less likely to be traded this year, by the end of the season than others? Like who, I mean, of course there are. Ja's not likely to be traded, but of the marginal ones, who do you think are likely trade chips?
Yeah, I mean, you take Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson off the table.
Right.
I think more than likely, you take Vince Williams, Zach Edey, Gigi Jackson off the table. And then it's sort of from there, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think the Marcus Smart thing is interesting. Is he a great fit or not a great fit? If he's not a great fit, then he becomes a very likely player to be available. If he is a great fit, then he becomes a not very likely player to be available. I think Santi is the obvious one. He's eligible for an early extension this summer and fall up until opening night. I think he's probably unlikely to get an early extension, and so he would be on a semi-expiring contract. You would have restricted free agent rights basically at the end of it. And you got Gigi Jackson, who maybe can, like, take that role, you know, as sort of, you know, to play as much four as three. Or you have Jake LaRavia, maybe. You have other guys at that spot. And so if Santi goes into the season without an extension and doesn't 100% nail down, like, this is a guy who's part of our future, then I think he becomes the most obvious player.
That makes sense. The Grizzlies also, by the way, I don't expect either of their second-round picks to be making an impact certainly this year, but in terms of looking for future Luke Kennards, they have at least, they're bringing along two shooters.
No, that's true. If Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer are coming along, those are two candidates to step into the role that Luke Kennard will be in this season, which is your three-point sniper off the bench. And so I certainly think the hope, I'm not saying the Grizzlies wouldn't keep Luke Kennard beyond this coming season, but I think the hope is certainly that either Jalen Wells or Cam Spencer in somewhat short order can look like they can fill that role. Yeah.
All right. You mentioned at the top of your piece, again, it's up at the Daily Memphian, They might not be completely done this summer, but they're basically done this summer. What yet could they even possibly theoretically, can you imagine them doing between now and training camp?
I mean, I don't think much is going to. The only thing to me is like, do they take Mamadi Diakite, you know, the guy that got the salary throw in the Zaire trade? He's on the main roster right now. Do you carry him into the season in that 15th roster spot, or do you just, you know, waive him and leave it open? There's probably, unless you just want to like let him get on with his life, there's not a particular drive to clear that spot now, unless if you're not going to immediately fill it, because his contract is guaranteed like through January 10th or whatever. So you're paying a portion of that contract either way. And so there's no real harm in like keeping him in that slot and then, you know, making that adjustment in season. So I would be surprised if anything notable happened, you know, beyond, you know, the waive or keep question for Diakite.
All right. Other news. Gordon Hayward announced his retirement. This means that
The dream is over.
The dream is over. And from
somebody told me. I think I probably said or written this before. It was sort of off the record stuff, but it was 10 years ago, and it was from someone who's long out of the Grizzlies organization. But apparently early on, Robert Parra really had a thing for Gordon Hayward and wanted the Grizzlies to try to acquire Gordon Hayward. Of course, Gordon Hayward was like an all-star level player back then, so not like a crazy notion. But I always heard that was one guy who like Parra would ask about a lot.
I mean, the injury ruined him, right? He was he was great until he got hurt. That leaves Paul George as the only player. Is it, Jeffrey, the only first rounder or the only player from that draft?
The only player, according to Shane Young, he's the only player from the 2010 draft class remaining in the NBA.
So that draft class, the 2010 draft class for the Memphis Grizzlies, Chris, consisted of two players, Xavier Henry and Gravis Vasquez. What do you recall of that draft? Gravis Vasquez, like, climbed through the stands?
Yeah, Gravis Vasquez was fired up at you know, whatever, or Madison Square Garden. Or wherever he was. Well, that was also the draft where the Grizzlies sold a pick for cash.
That's what I thought. I said that to
Jeffrey. I was looking it up, but I couldn't see I didn't see any notes about
Dominic Jones.
Yeah.
If Dominic Jones is in that draft, that was the pick the Grizzlies sold for
cash. I literally had, during the break, said, I think that's where they sold the one for cash, because I was very pleased with the Gravis Vasquez selection, but I was enraged by the
Year a player named Dominique Jones went to the Dallas Mavericks with the pick
Dominique,
of the 20s.
Yep. It did help that he was no good. You know, like
I mean, the thing with those things is like, you know, if you're going to kept the pick, that's probably not who they take anyway. And so, you know, you always look at it that way. Well, like you would have had that guy. You probably would have had that guy. You would have had some other guy.
So, Xavier Henry.
I liked the Henry pick to the extent that I thought that was the right pick. I didn't like love him, but like I thought he was going to be like, you know, a good seventh man, you know, a good combo, you know, your third wing in a rotation. That's sort of what I thought he was going to be, and maybe he would have been. He had knee problems very quickly, and his career didn't last long. And I like Vasquez, partly because he was fun. Like, you know, he's whipping the ball all over the place, played with a lot of passion and personality. He had a nice little career, Gravis Vasquez.
Well, he had some very important moments in the Grizzlies playoff.
For better or worse, yeah.
For good and ill. Yeah, exactly. And then he was traded to New Orleans For Quincy Pondexter. That's exactly right. He was traded for Quincy Pondexter. All right, Chris, I appreciate it. One more day before you head off on vacation. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.